Well, again, as Pastor Joel said, and as Pastor Alicia said this morning, it is so good to be here with you guys and be in your homes, your lounges, your cars, wherever you are today. I want to introduce myself because you may be new or you may wonder, well, who is this guy up on the stage? So my name is Aaron, and my wife Sarah and I, we have three kids, and we lived here in South Africa 2017, 2018, and part of 2019. And we were a part of the team that planted North Place Church. We came from Texas and helped plant the church. And we had to go back to the States. And after a little bit of a delay, we are back. And can I tell you guys, man, it is so good to be back in Durban, South Africa. I'm serious. When we left Texas, it was cold. I mean, 2 days after we left, it snowed. That's not my jam. Do not like snow, okay? And we arrived here in Durban last Friday, just over a week ago. And honestly, we were exhausted. We have three kids, and our kids are now 11, 10, and 5. Connor, Abby, and Doss. If you do not know them, you will. And for those of you we don't know, we cannot wait to meet you. We are looking forward to that day. But when we got here, man, we were exhausted. We didn't know what day it was, honestly. We didn't know what time it was. But, you know, when we were flying in and I looked out the window in the plane and I saw the ocean and I saw the beach. And then we got off of the plane, and you know, like a wave, the heat was like right in my face. And I was like, woo, we're back. And to be honest with you, when we got there, I took a deep breath. I was just like, man, we're home. It's been 18 months, but we were like, man, we are home. And we've been longing and looking forward to this day. And as much as we loved being back in the States, seeing family and friends there, we knew that part of our hearts are here in Durban, South Africa with you. You probably know that feeling of after a long day at work, or maybe after going on a holiday, or you have just lots of running and going and things to do, and then you get home at the end of a day, and you can just take a breath, put your feet up and say, man, I'm home. Or maybe recently we've been like, I'm ready to get out of my home, right? Because maybe the opposite has been true for you. Whatever it is, but to be honest, for us, we have been so grateful and thankful to God that we feel like we are back home. You know, this concept of a home or a dwelling place is used throughout the Bible to describe God and his relationship with us, his relationship with his creation, with mankind. And to be honest, especially in 2020, let's be honest, it's easy to think sometimes God is just some cosmic force floating around out there in the universe, right? It's easy to think sometimes that God is just out there and has no bearing on our day-to-day lives here and now. Or maybe we go through things and we're like, God, where are you at? God, what's happening right now? Well, this morning, we're going to look at some passages of Scripture, and we're going to see how this is not necessarily the case, that God is not just some cosmic force on his throne floating around out there somewhere, but no. The Bible tells us something very different. We're going to see where God calls his home as it relates to us, mankind. You know, for most of the Bible, really for most of the Old Testament, when we look at the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ came, God made his dwelling place. We read in the book of Exodus how God made his dwelling place in a place called the temple. And God gave very, very specific instructions for Moses and said, this is how you are to build the temple. It's to be this way and these specs and all of those kinds of things. And the reason being was because God was going to come down into part of that temple once a year to meet with the high priest one man once a year. And that was the only access for most of the Old Testament that mankind had to God. It was at this place in the temple that God would meet there with one person one time of year. Could you imagine that? Once a year, we get to be in the presence of God. And it really wasn't we, it was one man, the high priest. And you fast forward to Jesus Christ. Fast forward to Christ coming to the earth. And the Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was arrested, he's with his disciples, and they're having what we call the Last Supper, okay? And his time on earth, Jesus's time on earth is coming to a close. And you know what? Here's the thing. Jesus knows that there is a potential for his disciples to be confused. Jesus knows he's about to be arrested. He knows he's going to be crucified. And so he knows his followers, there's a potential for them to be confused, to be scared, to be lonely. And so he reassures them and us with these words in John chapter 14. John 14, Jesus says this with his disciples. He says, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live." What's he talking about? He's speaking of his resurrection. In this time, he's telling them, because I live, at some point you are going to live as well. You will be resurrected. But look at this, verse 20, he says, "On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" This Judas, he had a valid question. He's like, "Hey man, hang on. This should be for everyone, not just for us." Look at Jesus' response in verse 23. And Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. And we will come to them, and we will make our home with them." We're going to make our home with them. You see, through Christ, the dwelling place of God is no longer defined by man coming to God, but rather God coming to man. As we said earlier, before Jesus, man's access to God was limited because of sin. We know about this, and maybe you don't, and you're wondering, well, what are you talking about? Well, Genesis chapter 3, you go back to the beginning of everything. The Bible tells us that sin separated man from God. So therefore, man's relationship to God was limited. But the Bible tells us that in Christ, that the fullness of God dwelled in Jesus Christ. So in other words, the creator of everything, the sustainer of all things, he came to mankind. God broke into our existence as the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's what we just celebrated a few weeks ago, right? When we had Christmas time. Why do we celebrate that? Well, it is the advent. That word means the arrival of Jesus Christ. It is God himself, the one who sees past, present, and future all at one time. It's him breaking into our existence in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. And then if you look at the life of Jesus, when you read the Gospels, we see that Jesus sacrificed his life for us. He died on the cross. And so God's relationship to his creation was no longer confined or limited because of sin. See, you and I, we have access to God today. How do we have access to him? It's through belief in Jesus Christ. It's surrendering our lives and our hearts to him and saying, "Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, and I give you my life." And it's through that faith, the simplicity of faith and belief, that the Bible tells us, what we just read, that he comes and he makes his home in my heart. Did you catch that, verse 23? He says he comes and he makes his home in my heart. He's not talking about the physical organ of boop, 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 boop. That's not what he's talking about, right? He's not talking about the organ of my heart. What does he mean? Well, when we see the heart, he's talking about the deepest recesses of who I am. My will, my emotions, my mind, everything, that God comes and he sets up his home in my heart. So in other words, no longer is God confined to a temple to meet with his creation. No, 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 no. But through faith in Jesus Christ, you are his dwelling place. You are his home. And so what does this mean for you and I? I mean, what does this mean for me and the world that it can seem like is spinning out of control around me? What does this mean for us if God makes his home in our hearts, if we are his dwelling place? Well, there's a few things that we want to look at this morning. And the first thing is this: his dwelling shapes our identity. Now, if you've been around North Place for any time at all, you've heard us talk about identity over and over and over. Why? Why is it something that's so important? Well, because our identity is how we define who we are. It's how I say, this is who I am. This is why I am here. This is why I was created. And this is how I live my life. You see, when you and I commit our lives to follow Jesus, the Bible tells us over and over that he gives us a new identity. And so, in other words, no longer do I define myself by the worldly standards of success. No longer do I look to comparison to find my identity. I don't have to compare my life with someone else. I don't have to compare my stuff with someone else's stuff, or how little I have or how much I have. No, 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 no. I don't define myself by my status in society or the notoriety that comes from other people. I do not define myself that way. No longer do I even define myself by my past or by struggles or trauma or tragedy. But no, on the contrary, the Bible tells us that now, as a follower of Jesus, now my faith, because of my faith, I am a child of God. I'm created for a purpose. I'm loved by God, and there's no one and there's nothing that will ever separate us from his love. Nothing at all. See, my identity for me is this: I'm Aaron. I am a child of God. I'm loved by him and I am approved by him. I don't have to win his approval. I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to put on a mask in front of him and say, oh, well, God, did you see how good I did this? No, 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 no. The Bible tells me because of my faith in Jesus, I have a new identity, and that identity is you are loved, you are approved, you are my child. You're beautiful and you're wonderful in my sight. And you're destined to live with me forever after this life. I want to tell you this morning, wherever you are, remember, God loves you and he wants to make his home in you today. His dwelling place will shape your identity. Number two, the second thing, his dwelling place brings security. You see, the reason Jesus told his followers in John 14 about the Spirit coming and being with them when he left, and the reason that he told them that God was going to make his home in their hearts, is because he knew that they were coming against some difficult times. He knew that they were going to be scared and they were going to be lonely and that there were going to be hard times to come, but he assures them, you won't be alone. You may not see me, but I'll be with you. I mean, let's be honest. If the disciples had hard times, okay, yes, they did. It was rough. But you know what? So have we, right? Let's be honest. I mean, I don't know any of my friends that have just been like, 2020, the best year ever. Right? Like, I don't see many people posting about their visions for, you know, 2021 yet. Because 2020 kind of went, right? We face some adversity and some chaos and confusion everywhere in the world. All of us have. Personally, as a family, we have as well, even in the past year. In December of 2019, just over a year ago, I was having some vision problems, and I was having some problems with my head and my body and my balance and just weird things going on. And I ended up going to the doctor, and they did an MRI and scanned my brain and my face and my eyes and all of these kinds of things. And I've been healthy my whole life. I didn't even have a doctor to see. I had to find one to go see while we were there in the States, in Texas. And from that MRI, it showed some lesions on my brain, which are scar tissue caused by a disease called multiple sclerosis, or MS. And maybe you've heard of that. It's a disease that doesn't have a cure, and it affects the nervous system in your body. And to be honest with you guys, this was a huge shock and a massive surprise for Sarah and I and our family. And I was admitted to the hospital when I was diagnosed, and they started an IV treatment to deal with what I was having called a flare-up, where your symptoms are just exponential. And it was a Wednesday night, and I was laying in the hospital bed by myself. Sarah and the kids had went to a youth service, which is a whole different testimony that I can't wait to tell you about. And I laid in the hospital bed that night, and to be honest, man, I was mad at God. And something I've learned, and I always remember from Pastor Randy, and this he talked about Christmas a long time ago, was that God is not scared or intimidated with your questions. I love that. He's not. I mean, he knows my thoughts before I ever think them, right? So I honestly was sitting there and I was mad. I was frustrated. I was angry. I was confused. Like, God, what? How are we going to go back to South Africa? God, how? All these questions. Why? How? What if? Right? And as I laid in that bed, there was an overwhelming peace that came over me. To be honest with you, it didn't come from something that was external, but it came from within. And I heard the Lord whisper so softly, and he said, Aaron, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, Aaron, it's all you need, and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. See, I can't describe to you after that. I can't even tell you that everything after that was clear and perfect and all of those things. No, but the Bible tells us he comes and he makes his home in my heart. And when life is chaotic and confusing, he will bring security in the midst of it all. So you know what? I don't have to dwell in anger. Did you catch that? I didn't say don't be angry. I don't have to dwell in anger. I don't have to stay in anger because of the situations in my life. I don't have to dwell in worry. I didn't say don't be worried. I don't have to stay there. See, my wife, Sarah, she's a licensed therapist and a counselor, and she tells me, Aaron, sometimes just ride the wave. What are you worried about, right? Ride the wave. And I'm like, babe, I can't surf. There's no riding the wave. I'm going to face plant into the wave. Here's what she means. Ride those what ifs. Ride it out. Thank God I'm married to a counselor. Woo! I don't have to dwell in my anger or my worry or even my fear. I don't have to stay there. Rather, I can rest in the peace of God. Because Peter says that with thanksgiving, I make my requests known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all of my understanding, like I can't figure it out. I can't figure out how, in the midst of a life-changing diagnosis, laying in a hospital bed, that I had a peace. I can't figure it out. It transcends that. And here's what he says, that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whew. My Father will love them, he will come to them, and he's going to make our home with them, is what Jesus told us. So his dwelling place, it shapes his dwelling in us. It shapes our identity. It brings security. It brings peace. And then lastly, his dwelling invites intimacy in our life. It invites intimacy. And as you think about that word intimacy this morning, I want you to think of connection. I want you to think of being vulnerable with someone, being vulnerable with God. In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, there was a church, and this church was known as the Church of Laodicea. And Jesus speaks to this church through the author John in the book of Revelation. And this church, Laodicea, there's really one word to describe them, and it's the word indifference. They were indifferent about God, indifferent about one another. They were just indifferent, like, YOLO, man, let's just chill, you know? They were indifference. Jesus speaks to him. Look at what he says, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Very popular verse, you may know it, but I want us to focus in on it today. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. I like that word, sup. I just do. You know why? That's from the old King James Version, Old English. It's where we get our word supper from. And I was talking to a few of the staff, asking them, what do you call the last meal of the day? Well, maybe dinner, maybe supper. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, kind of the same. See, when I was growing up, your meal that you had around 12-ish was known as lunch. And then at the end of the day, you had supper. I always look forward to supper because, man, we had food. You know what I mean? We just ate. It was good. But the best thing about supper was that we were not in a hurry back then. There was no rush. It was, let's enjoy this food, but also, and more importantly, let's enjoy one another. So, hey, dad, son, let's talk about your struggles today. How was your day? And don't just give me the, oh, it was good. No. Like, how was your day? What was hard? What are you worried about for tomorrow? It was a place of connection, vulnerability. It was a place of intimacy. And Jesus' words to the church and to us today as well in 2021 is, hey, I'm knocking. Remember, this is the church he's talking to, okay? Followers of Christ. He's saying, listen, I already live in you, like you are saved, you belong to me, but I want more. Jesus is saying, I want intimacy with you. I want you to share your struggles and your victories, and I want to share my plans that I have for you because his dwelling invites intimacy. See, God's home is no longer based on a location, but rather it's based on a relationship. God's home is no longer based on a location as it relates to his creation, mankind, but rather it's based on relationship. We sang about it at the first song. You remember that? Go back and watch it if you didn't, and maybe sing it again after we're done today and rejoice it. Your love awakens me. You are alive in us. You remember that song? You are alive in me, Jesus. God dwells in you if you're a follower of Christ. He wants intimate relationship with you every day. He's knocking today, I believe, at the door of our hearts, and he's saying, listen, I know your struggles. I know what's going on. Let's have supper. Woo. Let's spend time together. Let me speak to you in my word. Hey, you remember that daily 20 that you used to do? Let's get back to that. Let me speak to you in worship and in my word and through your journaling because I am with you. His dwelling invites intimacy. He's knocking at the door and he's saying, just give it all to me. you know what? We hold the key to the door. We can give him that access. So North Place, wherever you are this morning, I want to ask you, do you find yourself overwhelmed? Do you find yourself struggling? Maybe even just kind of limping through life, just getting by. Like, if I can just get through the day. Listen, we don't have to just get through the day. In the midst of everything going on in our lives, we don't have to just get through this day. Why? Because I want you to know this. You are not alone. Please hear me this morning. You are not alone. And today, if you're not a Christian, you say, man, I am not a follower of Jesus. He wants to make his home in your heart today because you belong to him. He loves you so much that he gave his life so that you could be with him forever. Can I tell you, when you open that door and you let him in, when you let him move in to your heart, he brings identity. He brings security in the midst of chaos. He brings that peace. And he brings intimacy with him. Let's pray this morning. Father, I love you. God, I thank you so much for your word that is alive as well in our hearts. God, I thank you for coming to us, to coming to your creation. God, thank you for taking on our sins so that we can be connected to you. Lord, I pray today if there's someone watching and they say, I'm not a follower of Jesus, let today be the day of salvation. If you're watching today and you say, you know what? I want to commit my life to Christ. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he rose again 3 days later. I'm giving him everything. If that's you, type that in the comments or send us a message today that you committed your life to Christ. It's a prayer that only you can have with God yourself. He wants to move in today. Allow him to move in and take residence in your life. And today, if you're here and you say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I love Jesus and I've invited him in. My prayer for us today is that peace will rise from within our hearts today. Jesus, we open the door of our hearts to you today and tomorrow and next week. And next month, regardless of what's happening around us. Jesus, we love you. Bring identity and security and peace today. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Know that we love you. We're praying for you. Praying for you to make this a wonderful day and a wonderful week. If you need anything at all, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We pray you have a wonderful week. God bless you.